Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Today is March 30th, 2017, Thursday night, and I want to thank you for joining me on NoBetterWay.net. And we are being heard on blogtalkradio.com/NoBetterWay. My name is Rudy Zablocki, and I'm just a truck driver from Bartlett, Illinois, who loves the Lord. And my prayer tonight is that this show blesses you richly as we talk about Jesus and come to realize how much Jesus loves you, how much Jesus loves your little children. Amen. The title of tonight's show is Let the Little Children Come to Me. And the Bible reading for tonight's show comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 13 through 15. It reads, "Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me and don't hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.' When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there." Amen. You know, there's a saying that you have time for what you deem important to you. You always save time for the things that are important. And I would say Jesus surely had time for the little children. He truly loved and cared for them. And Jesus wanted all those entrusted to raise up and teach the little children to do it in a godly way. Matter of fact, Jesus is pretty serious about how the little children are to be cared for. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verse 42, Jesus says, "And if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck." Wow, I would say Jesus is pretty serious about his children. There is much to fear the Lord if they hurt the Lord's children, much to be accountable for. And to those Christian parents and teachers and even grandparents, you have a huge responsibility entrusted to you. Yes, a huge responsibility and also a huge blessing to see those children raised to know the Word of God, to know the Lord Jesus, and to see them grow in their faith. I just think of one of the things that really impressed Jesus, got him excited, is when he saw people with great faith. So if you're raising your children and they're growing in their faith, that's got to put a real smile on the Lord Jesus. In the book of Proverbs, Old Testament book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 6, it reads, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And how do we teach him the way he should go? I would say teach him the truth. Didn't Jesus say he is the way, the truth, and the life? Teach him about the one true living God. And that would be, for all you Christians out there, the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach your children the Word of God. Purchase a children's Bible. Read the Word of God from Genesis through Revelation. There's 66 books in the Bible, much to read and much to get to know and much to transform our lives, transform the lives of our little children, transforming their hearts to know and love the Lord. And there's so many stories in the Bible. Tell them the stories about Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis and how they sinned against God and all creation, and yet God had mercy on them and promised them a Savior. And he promised how he would make things better by sending his son Jesus to die for their sins. Tell them about the crucifixion, how Jesus died for us, the horrible death he died. You know, you telling them in a gentle way because they're still children. And tell them about the resurrection. The glorious resurrection on the third day, as Jesus had promised. And my dear brothers and sisters, aren't our children the next generation? We need to love our children like Jesus. Take time, spend time with our little blessings, our blessings from the Creator God. What does it say in Psalm 139? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Those little creations, experiencing the beauty of a birth of a child and then watching them grow up. And God has put those little children into your hands, your responsibility to raise them, to let them know who Jesus is, who God is. Let them know about the beautiful Holy Spirit, how it touches all of us and gives us more and more faith. And as a parent, as a teacher, as a youth minister, it is our calling, it is our ministry to love the little ones to Jesus Christ. And as caretakers of the Lord's little ones, we need to be a witness. So it's very important to live godly lives. Every day we're witnessing the way we live our lives. We're witnessing to the little ones, these little ones that we love and Jesus loves. And mom, dad, teachers, it's amazing how much our little blessings are watching us. Dad, if you go off the handle, you might be showing your son or daughter that it's okay to go on a furious rage. It's okay to be angry. I mean, there are times it is good, righteous anger is good, but if you constantly show that it's okay to get mad about things and go up, fly off the handle, you're witnessing to your son and daughter. Or maybe a curse word slips out. You bang your finger or stub your toe, or you get mad about some bill that you think you were overcharged by the hospital and a curse word slips from your mouth. Well, our little ones, that little Stella or that little Isaac or Mandy or Nora, they might just pick that up. And one thing I also want to mention, if you as a Christian family are not praying at dinner time, maybe little Elijah, he just might say to mom or dad, "How come we're not praying before our meal? We always pray before our snacks at Sunday school." I think children sometimes are so innocent and their hearts are not totally innocent. I mean, we all are sinners, but they have that way of just letting the truth out. And I think that's a good thing sometimes. And it's a good thing to convict us as parents. And, I like to say, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the things we are doing with our children, raising them up to follow the Lord, to know the Lord, to know the Lord Jesus, we are laying a foundation. We're laying a foundation for them. We teach them the Bible, the Word of God. We teach them the gospel, the good news. We tell stories to them just like Jesus told stories. Tell them stories about, like I said, Adam and Eve, Moses, Abraham. That's all, you know, the Old Testament, the New Testament. We tell them about Jesus's mother and father, Joseph and Mary, and tell them about the stories about Jesus and his disciples and and we just raise them to know the Lord. We give them a foundation so when they build their lives upon this foundation, the rock of salvation upon Jesus Christ, they will be able to resist the storms of life, to get through those storms. Their lives will keep standing, even though there's going to be some really stormy times. I love the words of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. And this prophet Jeremiah, he loved the Lord, and he was so concerned about his people and how they had gone against the Lord. And some people even call him the weeping prophet. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13, it reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Amen. And the good Lord wants his children to know him intimately. The good Lord wants to be their daddy, Abba, Father. He wants them to seek him with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, and all their might. Amen. And the thing is, when we find the Lord, he isn't a cosmic killjoy like some people think. No. The Lord, he's a super blessing. What did Jesus say? I've offered him a much better way, a more abundant life. And I will close with a verse from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10. It reads that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And I say amen to that. So my prayer for tonight's show is that your children, your little ones, they're actually the Lord's children that have been put into your care. I pray that they may be richly blessed as you as parents, as grandparents, as teachers, youth ministers, that you would have a heart that would be encouragers, that you would let the little children come to Jesus. Don't restrict, hold them back, so that they may enjoy a more abundant life, that they may be blessed with a more abundant life. Amen, amen, amen. All right, folks, I'm going to take a little break now, and then when I get back, I'd love to hear from you. I'm going to give you the number before I play the first song. That call-in number is 347-989-0095. And the first song I'm going to play is Give Me Jesus. Hope you enjoy. Be back in a few minutes, folks. Give me Jesus. Fernando Ortega. Pretty simple song. Just says, you can have all this world, just give me Jesus. And he goes, when I come to die, will the Lord be at my bedside to take me home? You know, he says, you know, this world offers you all these temporary highs and lows. I mean, there's a lot to chase, but some of the stuff that you're chasing is like chasing the wind. And in the end, it won't bring that eternal fulfillment. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, for God has put eternity in all men's hearts. All men's hearts. Deep down, everyone knows that there's a God, and they know there's more than just this life. There's a world after this and eternity. And that's what the good word, the Bible, talks about. The Lord's eternal kingdom, and that through Jesus Christ, he came to pay the price for our sins, paid a brutal death on the cross, and on the third day he defeated death through the power of the Holy Spirit. He was raised from the dead, and that same power is available to us. It's amazing, Lord. I mean, it's amazing, folks. It is amazing, Lord. Thank you. And I hope you join me tonight. Again, I'll give out that phone number, 347-989-0095. And then if you just want to text in a prayer request or if you have a question, I will do my best to try to answer it. If I don't, I'll do my research and get back to you the following show. The number is 630-674-4960. Love to have you join the show. You've got your story. Maybe you've got a story about raising your kids. Hey, we're all friends here, folks. Love to have you join us. Again, that number, 347-989-0095. You know, I read earlier from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And I'm going to go from 11 through 13. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So, first of all, those are great words by Jeremiah. I mean, it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And he's saying that the Lord knows our plans. He knows our little children's plans. He's put those children in our hands to care for them and raise them up. And so you can be part of the plan to raise up your children. And it also says how the Lord doesn't want to harm your child. He's got plans to prosper them. And a plan to give them hope and a future. How about hope and eternal hope and eternal future? Just think about it, folks. For those that give their heart to Jesus, you know, you've given yourself to him. You've put your faith in Jesus Christ. You have an eternal hope and eternal future. And you'll find the Lord when you seek him with all your heart. The Lord is there to be found. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. You know what? I'm hoping to hear from my son, Dave, calling in hopefully in a few minutes here. My brother, Casey, had texted in a question, and it is the time of of the crucifixion and resurrection. It's the season of Lent as we're approaching April 15th is Easter. Kind of odd. I got a phone call there. I'm sorry for that little disturbance in the background. Yeah, it is approaching the Easter season. Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday. I like to call it rather than Easter, which is kind of more cultural wordage, because there's, you know, trying to describe Easter kind of. The full meaning to me is when I say Resurrection Sunday, because it is the day the Lord has risen. He has risen indeed. So those days, it is coming. So my brother asked a question about Joseph of Arimathea. And he was a rich man. He had become a disciple of Jesus. And so when Jesus, when he died on the cross, gave his life for the sins of the world, Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And so it was granted. And so Joseph of Arimathea, being a rich man, had his own tomb. And so along with Mary and John and Mary Magdalene, Joseph of Arimathea was there to take the body down from the cross and then to give Jesus a dignified burial in a tomb. And so I would say that Joseph of Arimathea was there. Anyone that was at the cross didn't fear their life, because look how the disciples, the apostles, Peter, Andrew, Bartholomew, Matthew, all the disciples ran when Jesus was arrested. But the apostle John and Jesus's mother Mary and Mary Magdalene, Joseph of Arimathea was there. These people did not fear. They loved Jesus very much, and they were there at the crucifixion. And the only thing I could say, Casey, I did a little research, and there is some history on Joseph of Arimathea, but it's not biblical. So I don't know. It'd be kind of like a little bit of guesswork going on. All we can say is that I would say that Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man. He had his own tomb. He wanted Jesus Christ, who he loved much. He was a true follower of him. He wanted him to have a dignified burial. And lo and behold, Joseph of Arimathea would make history, because he would be able to not only give Jesus a proper burial, but that would be the historical place of Jesus's resurrection. The power of the resurrection was present there. Pretty awesome. And so that's all God's will being done. You know, everything according to the will, according to God's word, was done on Resurrection Sunday. Jesus rose from the dead. He defeated death. So that's all I could say about it, Casey. I hope that answers your question, or just you wanted me to talk a little bit about him as the Easter season, as the crucifixion and Resurrection Sunday approaches in a couple of weeks. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for paying the price that we deserved. And I just can say thank you, thank you, thank you, and praise you, Lord, and amen. So, title of tonight's show is Let the Little Children Come to Me. And it says what in Proverbs? I think it's Proverbs 22. Train up a child as he should go, and he will not depart from it. So if we are loving, caring Christian parents, we are going to put the time and effort. You know, we live in this modern world, and in many families, both parents have to work, and it's not to say that it's condemning to say that both parents are working. It's not a good thing. I understand how the way the economy works, it takes sometimes two parents to work. But if only one is working, and just say mom is staying home with the kids, raising them and spending the time, I say God bless that family, because they are sacrificing. They're sacrificing an income, which is, you know, substantial. But how much more worth it is if we as parents do make that sacrifice. And okay, one parent, dad goes to work, mom stays home. So she's there to raise and teach and love and spend the time, rather than, you know, the children are going to go to a nursing care or a care center, you know, or child care, whatever, nursery, whatever. And not that that's, if you get the proper people to help, that's not a terrible thing, but I would say family's always best. And again, I pray blessings upon all those families that sacrifice and have one of the parents staying home to raise the kids. I say, God bless you richly. God bless you richly. You know, what's amazing too is when they try to shoo the kids away, and when the disciples rebuked the parents from bringing the kids to Jesus, Jesus kind of flipped the rebuke on and said, no, let these little ones come to me. And he realized that these are small, you know, precious minds and hearts that need to be nurtured. And he took the time, you know, so he prayed and blessed them all. Who knows, there could have been 40, 50 children. You know, he could have spent an hour, 2 hours with the children. You know, and Jesus said how important it was that the little children come to me, and even said that these are the type, right, these little children, the type of hearts that they have, these, you know, they're not obstructed with pride that comes later in life that we struggle with, or obstructed with whatever things in our life that keep us from God. So, again, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And I love Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And that goes back to being a witness as a parent or a grandparent or an aunt or uncle, whatever. You know, if you're showing those little ones your faith, if you're showing that you have strong faith in God, if you show them that you know, going to church is important, praying is important, reading God's word is important, you are being a beautiful witness for that child. And believe me, those children are so impressionable. It's amazing. If say they get a hold of a TV show and there's some crazy ideas, you know, the new agey or just the ways of the world, it's amazing how these 2, 3, 4 year old boys and girls can pick up this stuff. So these children are so impressionable, you know, in these early years. So God has given you a big responsibility, folks, and also he's given you a big blessing, because through that hard work with your kids, you're going to enjoy the blessings. You'll go through some rough times, and what do they say? All children are wired differently. Amen. You might want to have one child that's sweet as pie and always obedient. The next one's a little rebel, right? Always wanting to run away and, you know, get into mischief. So all our kids are wired different. That's, you know, God doesn't make the world boring. We're all different. And it's cool. You know, it's a blessing. I got a call, and I will take that. Good evening. Welcome to NoBetterWay.net.
Hello there.
Well, hello, David. That long hello.
How's it going tonight?
Good, good. I got a title that's right up your alley, Dave, and I'm going to give you as much of the floor as you want. I'll just sit back if the spirit moves you. The title is Let the Little Children Come to Me. And I'll read the verse that I used as my main focus verse, Dave. And I'm sure you're well aware of this. Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 through 15. Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Amen.
The idea is that for them was that the kids, you know, are kind of a waste of time. Jesus is too busy to be scrambling around with some kids or whatever. So it's kind of a cool passage to see that Jesus' love for kids and how he values them. And it's really cool in all of Scripture just to see how much Jesus values everybody, you know, man, woman, child, senior, anybody, any age, just love them and cared for them all. And really cool, especially with the kids and seeing the importance of children to Jesus. I got like Matthew 18, 2 through 6, which I think really kind of emphasizes how important the kids were to him, where he says, he called a little child to him and placed the child among them, and he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." You see, so cool about just the value of just childlike faith, where, you know, when you're an adult, you doubt and you mope and complain about things, or you question things, or you think you know better. For a child, you know, a good obedient child just trusts and loves their parents, you know, that type of, you know, just innocence and trust is what God wants in our relationship with him, where we just innocently trust and believe what he tells us, you know, in our hearts and in his word, and just basically says, be like a child when it comes to faith. He's like one of those good children that listens to, obeys, and loves their parents and has joy in their heart while they do it, because they trust their parents, and their parents always, you know, taking good care of them too. So I thought that was pretty cool. And then, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask, I was kind of thinking, Dave, you know, he's asking us to be like a little child, trusting, you know, and don't resist, you know, and have, you know, like as we get older, we get more prideful and stubborn and mm-hmm. questioning in our, you know, and so what do you think it's the world that can become a wedge, right? There's the ways of the world that kind of replaces that, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, just the broken, sinful nature of our hearts. And I think, you know, as we get older, we, you know, experience more heartaches, more problems, you know, we get a little bit more cynical because of all the sin that's around us in the world, maybe. And then there's, you know, yeah, so I think that has a big part to play. And then, you know, when you become an adult, you kind of, the culture around us, you know, kind of teaches us, you be the king of your own world, kind of a deal. Like, you chase after, you know, wealth and fame or whatever else that you're looking for. And it kind of becomes about us instead of about God, as opposed to just really resting in and trusting in Jesus and letting him take care of all the details. We kind of try to create our own little, you know, our own little world that's kind of like a lot of times devoid of what God wants, you know?
Yeah. So now I'm just going to let you keep going, but, and I think of like, how hard is it for us as adults, you know, with all our hang-ups and doubts, to get back to being like that little child, you know, that excited,
mm-hmm.
you know how a child gets excited about things that we as adults don't get excited about. And, you know, and it's just like a new faith, you know, like when you first come to faith, you have this like fire and excitement about your faith. And then I guess it's okay to kind of cool down as long as you have these hot coals that are still, you know, glowing and burning. But it's like, man, how do I get back to being like a child? You know, I'm an old man now. I'm an old man now, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Francis Chan's got some good points when it comes to this, because he's
who's that?
He's like, you know, I think it's Francis Chan. I heard him talking about, you know, like, you feel kind of far from God. Well, are you making disciples? Cause that's what he made you to do. He made you to go out and teach others about him and to love people and to teach them about Jesus, you know, being a disciple and making a disciple. So I think a lot of times, you know, we're like, oh, I feel far from God. I don't feel close to him. Well, that's our own fault because we're not even living for him in a lot of ways, you know. So it's like, if we're just like, well, how come I don't feel God speaking to me now in my life, and I spend about 12 hours watching TV a day and expect like some spiritual revolution in my life or something, you know, it doesn't make sense. But I think we have the, if we innocently and faithfully do what he calls us to, which is to love people and love him and share him with others and go into the world to make disciples, I think that's the innocent childlike faith. Now, like, well, that's what the Bible says, but no one wants to hear it, you know? Like, oh, he told me to go tell everybody about Jesus, but no one's really interested in hearing me talk about Jesus. No one cares. They're just going to think I'm a freak. Well, a child would just hear a obedient child will hear the command and do it, you know, and joyfully. And we just got excuses, because I don't think a lot of times we don't really want to do it. We just make up excuses that, you know, no one cares anyway. No one wants to hear it. So, yeah, I think to get back to being like a child is, like, I think what you were kind of getting at is kind of like, so you got to go almost get back to this, the basics, simplistic, you know. It's like, I think sometimes as Christians we overthink things. We want to read all these books about 50 steps to this, 50 steps to that. Well, how about we just, like, drop out some of the riffraff in our lives and just get into the Bible and get into more prayer and get out into the community and share Jesus more, you know?
Yeah.
And then I liked what he said, too, about how much he loves and cares about kids. If anyone causes the little ones that believe in me to stumble, be fatter for them to have a millstone hung around their neck and drown in the depths of the sea. Like, you know, it's that's a serious warning there, that, you know, these kids that believe in Jesus, you know, we need to affirm their faith and help them to grow in their faith. And the world's going to try to steer them away from God. And Jesus knows how dangerous that is for these kids, right? So the importance for us as a community to build into the children in the church and, have a strong ministries to them and sharing Jesus with them, teaching them how to be a disciple and encouraging them to grow in their faith and protecting them from a scramble light world.
Yeah. Well, I had mentioned earlier in the show, Dave, that it's like as a parent or a grandparent, aunt, uncle, youth minister, whatever, we're all witnesses. So I was just thinking, you know, there's sometimes a family situation where, you know, the kids go to Sunday school and then the parents just drop them off, you know, so, you know, what kind of witness is that? You know, so what I'm just saying is, you know, we have to live our lives for Christ, you know, and show the kids, you know, that we love God and, you know, it's important that we go to church and it's important that we volunteer, you know, and it's important that we pray at dinner. It's important that we open the Bible and actually read it, you know, so as parents or teachers, whatever, you know, we're witnessing every day. And so, you know,
no one that kids are going to look at more than their parents, what they did. So, you know, and then church is a wonderful place, but kids can spend multitude more hours, you know, at home with the family. So it's really like what you said there, there's the opportunity to witness to them and to be an example to them how to live out their faith. So if they're hearing it at church but they're not really seeing it at home, it's going to be harder for that faith to stick. And, you know, Jesus makes it clear in the passage that he desires for us to really help kids grow in their faith and not steer them away from it. So, yeah, you're right that the most important role is the parents. And then anybody else, like grandparents and cousins, uncles, all that stuff, too.
I think of all the shows I've done, you know, the children are the future, right? All it takes is one generation of children for the church either to – I know that heaven and earth shall pass, but God's word will never pass, and the gates of hell shall not prevail over the kingdom of God. But if the kids are not raised, and, you know, that one generation away of the church just, you know, disappearing, you know, may not disappear over the world, but it could disappear in a country, you know. So it's so important, you know, this is like probably one of the biggest responsibilities given to a parent. Is, you know, their children and how they raise them, you know, care for them.
Yeah. And using everything, using the, you know, sinfulness of the society around us to point them to how God's way is different, you know. And, you know, and important to show them, you know, God's way is different than the real world around us. But then, you know, even also to point out the sins in our own hearts. You know, there's we all got our problems and we all have our sins and we all have our battles. We fight spiritual warfare and seeking to live for God but struggling every day. And just being honest with kids about that as well is gonna help them. You know,
yeah.
And, just to make sure that they realize it's not about being a good little boy or girl. It's about trusting in Jesus. And when you fail, turn to him and repent of your sin and keep following him. And I think there's a lot of peace that can come from that as well, because, you know, we're all messed up. So, you know, when we're thinking along the lines of about being a good boy or a good girl or a good man or good woman to get to heaven,
yeah,
if that's how we're thinking, we're doomed. But it's not that way. It's through Christ. He died for all the sins we've committed. We need to believe in him and turn away from our sins and give him our lives and live for him. And, yeah, so teaching that to our kids from a young age, because the reality is that a high percentage of people that give their life to Christ do it as a kid. You know, probably 80% or something like that, you know, when they're a kid. So once you become an adult, there's not a lot of people that give their life to Christ as an adult. So, I mean, that almost shows you the importance of
Yeah.
Parents having a family of believers, or having people that are willing to build into your life when you're a kid. Because some kids don't have families that believe, but you know, have a church that are willing to pick them up in a van, you know, a church van or something like that. That picks up a bunch of kids, brings them to church on a Wednesday or something like that. You know, people having anyone building into these kids is a blessing because they're building a foundation as kids. So,
yeah.
Jesus says, "Let the children come to me." I mean. You know, there's a reason why it was so important for him, because you could see that, you know, you wanna teach them how to catch the faith from a young age.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking, Dave, you know, when Jesus took the time out for those little kids, you know, where he prayed and blessed them, mm-hmm. What was he telling them? He's saying, "Hey, I love you," right? And that I think mm-hmm. that's what. You know, isn't it almost the simplest thing you come to realize when you come to faith? Say, you know, it's not some form of religion where I got to do this right and do that right, you know, and always feel like you're going to get condemned. But just the fact that the creator of the universe, you come to realize that he's got time for me. When I pray, he can listen, you know, and just to know that every single person, you know, we, like I mentioned before, Psalm 139, where it says we are all fearfully and wonderfully made, and so God cares about all of us, and so those kids, when they, you know, when they were blessed and prayed over by Jesus, they just realize that Jesus loves me. I that's the thought that came to me, Dave. I just think it was simple but sweet.
Yeah, and then even beyond that is that. I don't want these people that think they got it all figured out, you know. I have all the answers, you know, or, you know, I do good, you know, like the Pharisees be like, oh, I follow all the rules, that's why I'm the best or whatever. It's not these kids, it's about these kids. They just trust me, and it's relational.
Yeah.
They just trust in me, and if I tell them, you know, to do this or that, they trust, they love me, and they trust me, and it's an innocent trust, and that's why I think Jesus is really protective about it too, because you know a kid's gonna follow along with their parents or whoever else is trying to guide them or lead them. So if that person's not a good person, and they're gonna lead the kid in the wrong direction. They're going to go along with them, you know, when they're young. So you're saying, you know, you got to lead them in the right direction. But the cool thing is that that's the kind of faith he wants us to have. Where it's like, wherever Jesus leads, I'm going, you know, I trust him. I'm going to follow him. And, you know, there can be ups and downs in my life, some hard things and good things, but he's going to teach me through all of it. And pretty cool.
Yeah. It's,
like you said, that. About the love and the relationship.
Yeah. And, you know, like when you say that Jesus is the way and he's going to say, come follow me. And then, you know, he knows what's down the road for us, but we don't. And then, like you say, have that innocent trust as a child, you know, where we just say, okay, Lord, this way I'm not sure about, and, you know, financially or whatever, I'm going to go this way. I'm going to trust in you, even though I'm not sure, but I put my life in your hands, and I'm going to go this way, your way, Lord. And, I guess when you do that kind of, act of faith, Dave, that's acting like a trusting faith, innocent faith, like a child, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not the boss. Jesus is the boss. Where he says to go, I'll follow, and I've seen him to be good and loving and awesome, and I have no reason not to follow him. I'm gonna do what he says, and like a child, we're gonna screw up too. But that doesn't, you know, a good parent doesn't stop loving their kids when they mess up. They just want that child, you know, to correct And that's what a kind of like repenting of our sins is, you know, God calling us to correct our way of life so we can continue to follow him how he calls us to. So it's not about losing his love. It's about, you know, trusting in him and taking his correction as well as his encouragement, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well said, Dave. Well said. I just think there's just such importance in this topic. You know, I mean, we're all little ones at one time, and maybe we haven't had that perfect childhood. There's some memories of things that aren't so good, but I just want you to kind of respond to what I'm saying now is say, no matter, you know, as adults, you know, we're given the responsibility to raise the little ones and, you know, through Christ and, you know, his way, we're going to do the best job we can. But say something to the folks out there, Dave, that maybe their childhood wasn't the best, you know, and maybe they're struggling with their faith now. And what encouraging words could you say to those folks that look back on their childhood and it's a part of their faith that they struggle with now?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think there's some hurts that can happen from when you're a kid. And the cool thing is that, you know, those that don't have maybe loving parents growing up, that God is a loving father, and just have a relationship with God. Some people will say, maybe I don't want a relationship with God because he let bad things happen to me as a kid or whatever happened to me in my life. But the eternal relationship with a loving father is just an amazing blessing. And you know that he loves you sacrificially because he sent his only son Jesus to die for your sins and rise again. So, you know, that's the type of love that God has. He's willing to allow, you know, his son Jesus Christ to go through that suffering on the cross, and Jesus did it willingly because he loves you too. And that's what's available with God, is that relationship. And nothing's ever a lost cause, you know, just because bad things have happened.
Amen.
You know, you can always move forward in Christ, and you know, maybe the things that didn't go well for you as a kid, you can turn around and bless, you know, other kids, you know, your own kids or other kids in this world, and make sure they do receive the type of love and care that maybe they struggled to receive or whatever. So that's what I say, is that, you know, go forward loving God and loving people. And it's really simple when you boil it down. It's like loving God and loving people ahead of ourselves. And that's when we're following, and that's when we're really doing God's will, right? Making disciples,
yeah.
Loving God, loving people above ourselves. And when we're selfish and where we just care about what our own wants and needs, that's when we're going to be struggling. So just move forward. It's the same for all of us moving forward, just loving God, loving people, loving our kids, loving the kids around us, and making sure to help care and for and protect them and help nurture their faith as well. So that's what I'd say.
Well, good words, Dave, good words. Yeah, we're kind of winding down to the end of the show. Thank you so much, Dave, for coming on tonight. I thought
sure.
This is one of the most important shows I've ever done, because how precious the little children are to us, but even so much more to the, you know, our Lord Jesus. He took the time out. Yep, he took the time out to bless them, to pray over them, and then he says, "Okay, moms and dads, grandparents and teachers, that's what I want you to do too, to pray over them." It's kind of emotional. Pray over them every night, and you know, just bless them with all your heart. You know, just love them like Jesus. And to that I say, Amen, Dave.
Amen. Well, thank you, and have a good night.
You too. I'll see you soon, Dave. So you take care.
All right, see you soon.
All right. Bye. Bye-bye. All right, what a show tonight. I think it really was ordained by God. You know, this title kind of hit me, and I says, you know what, this is very important to talk about. And David, being a youth minister, he had so much to offer, you know, offer tonight, so much input. He put it simply, love God, you know, love your neighbor, love your, you know, of course, love your family, your wife and your kids, and God is there with you. He cares for you. He's blessed you with some beautiful children. He's handed them to you, right? And he's given you such a beautiful responsibility and also a beautiful blessing. And just like to thank you for listening to the show tonight. I'll close with a prayer, and then I'll play the closing song. I think I want to play a great praise song. It's called Awesome God. So I'll close with that. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for tonight's show. Thank you for Dave and all his input. Thank you, Lord, that you do care so much about the little children, and you basically said you want your kingdom to be like the little children, have a heart of a little child, like to be able to trust in Jesus and trust his ways. And I just pray, Lord, that you touch hearts today, that we do trust you more today, more tomorrow, that we do express faith. And that's one of the things you really were excited about, Lord, is when people showed faith, when they showed this great faith in God, it truly amazed you. It excited you. That's pretty cool. So I pray that we can all show that trusting faith, and that you can just be excited about it, and then live our lives until one day you call us home. And in all this, I pray in the most precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I pray that the Lord bless you and keep you, and he bless you richly. Good night, folks. We'll close with Awesome God. Hope you enjoy.
Putting on the wrist.
Our God is an awesome God.
There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fist.
Our God is an awesome God.
And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God.
Created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
In judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. The mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God.